And they say, you know, the programs out there are not relevant to women and girls, and they got to be reconfigured, and they just don't speak to us the way we need to be spoken with about whatever topic, cardiovascular disease, sexual health. And I go to sessions for men and boys, and I say, the programs out there just don't speak to us, they're not relevant to us, they don't reach us, they don't motivate us. So the first question to the panel is, if I may take a co-moderator's prerogative, is, what does that say about the programs that we're running? Do they reach anyone? Why are they not gender relevant? Or as our previous speaker suggested, which I thought fascinating, maybe it's the local focus of the socio-cultural aspects and the social norms. So what does that say? Are we building big programs on a national level that look great for reach no one? Love to hear the comments from the speaker. So our next speaker is an esteemed colleague and a good friend, Lee Werner. And he'll be presenting on assessing intervention to increase the use of reproductive health and sexually transmitted infection services by male clients at family planning clinics. Dr. Werner is in the Division of Reproductive Health of the Centers for Disease Control. Dr. Werner is currently the Associate Director for Sciences for the Division of Reproductive Health at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. During his 20-year esteemed career, Dr. Werner has published numerous articles in various areas related to the reproductive health of men and women, including contraception, adolescent pregnancy, HIV counseling and testing, infertility, and male circumcision. He is a nationally recognized expert in the evaluation of barrier methods of effectiveness and a former member of the FDA's advisory panel for obstetrics and gynecologic devices. He was also instrumental as one of the co-cabal members to produce this first ever CDC report in 2010, first ever report by CDC in 2010 on male reproductive health. So Dr. Werner.
Thank you, and I want to thank both Sal and Sarah for putting this session together. It's very important. It's glad to see the Women's and Men's Health Caucus working together on this. So I'm going to talk about an intervention project to increase male attendance and receipt of services at family planning clinics. And I want to acknowledge a couple of folks in the room. The first is my co-author, David Johnson, with the Office Population Affairs, Office of Family Planning. Raise your hand. He's going to take some questions as well on the interventions. But he's really been the one that has spearheaded the rise in male client attendance to family planning clinics in our Title X programs for the last decade. And also Sarah Solomon and David Fine from Cardia, who have we all have worked very hard to get the data I'm about to show you today. I have nothing to disclose. Okay, so family planning has been named one of the 10 great public health achievements in the U.S. for the 20th century. And the federal Title X family planning program that was established by the Public Health Service Act of 1970, it provides family planning services to low-income men and women. However, most family planning clinic clients are women, in fact, more than 90%. And even though the men are less than 10%, it has actually risen from 3% a decade ago to most recently 8%. And again, that's a lot due to the types of programs that have been run out of the Office of Population Affairs. And so today I'm going to talk about one of the demonstration projects that from OPA that we've worked on together. So this is the Male Family Planning Research Cooperative that was designed to assess and impact male reproductive health services and the needs that they may have. It was a five-year cooperative agreement that started in 2008 with Cardia being the research coordinating center. And then there were five sites, one in Montana, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, San Antonio. And the one I'm going to talk about today are the family health centers in San Diego. So family health centers in San Diego, and they have a great website. I encourage you to visit it if you have not. They serve about 175,000 clients a year, 650,000 total visits, and it's a network of about 15 to 20 clinics that they were one of the sites. So they had two clinics that adopted and incorporated a series of interventions for men. And they have this killer quote on the website. You can see it in purple. male reproductive health services are provided in a culturally sensitive way to meet the needs of men in our community. That's awesome. You don't see that very often. So what we want to do with this evaluation was to assess the impact of different staff, clinic, and community interventions on male and female family planning census and their use of STI and HIV services. And specifically, what we wanted to evaluate was, did these interventions increase attendance by males at the participating clinics? Did they increase the receipt of STI services for males? And here we're talking about testing for gonorrhea and chlamydia and also for HIV. And I think it's really important and a very fair question, if you do these things to increase services to men, what does it do for to services and attendance for women? And so we tried to look at all these questions. So I want to describe a little bit about the interventions that were developed between the Office of Population Affairs, CARDIA, and the grantee. Basically, it was a five-pronged approach, and I'll describe them very briefly. The first one was to do outreach to services serving men, and not just at community fairs, but to find men in other venues, social service agencies, criminal justice, substance abuse treatment centers, and also to do inreach within their own clinics. They did staff training to discuss male services with their female patients, and they had volunteers who approached men and couples in the waiting room and actually sat with a table and made appointments for the men when they were there. They did patient flow analyses to improve clinic efficiency. They invested a lot in staff training, so how to do a male clinical exam, and how do you deal with men in the family planning clinic, because it was very rare. And then the last one was changing the clinic environment so that the clinic policies were more inclusive of both men as well as women. So let me talk a little bit about what we did as far as design. And these are the two clinics in San Diego that implemented the services, Logan Heights and Beach Area. And these are the two that implemented the interventions. So this was a demonstration project, remember. So it's not a randomized trial at all. But we actually were able to make it into a non-randomized design by selecting some other family health center clinics that were programmatically similar. So we took five in the area and looked at the use of services during the same time and clinic attendance by men. For the data source, we looked at the family health centers, the San Diego's administrative systems data from 2007 to 11. Now remember, the interventions were developed in 2007 and 8. They started implementation during the course of 2009. So what we're going to do in this evaluation is compare the 2 years where there was definitely no intervention in 2007 and 8 to the 2 years where there definitely was intervention in 2010 and 11. We've excluded 2009, but whether you include it in the baseline, which would be the conservative way to analyze it, it makes some difference to the results I'm going to show you. So for the client records, there were 16,000 men, male client visits, and for females, 208,000 roughly. And if you look at these percentages, 7 and should be 93, they're the same as you see nationally. So we're on par with, this is nothing unusual about these clinics. And from these administrative systems, we're able to take a look at some limited client demographics, whether the clients were a new or continuing client, and receipt of testing, and I already talked about the pre-intervention and post-intervention. And then so we looked at whether there was a statistically different change in clinic attendance and receipt of services between the pre- and post-periods. So what I'm going to show you now for the next five or so slides, I'm going to give you the results for men first, starting with the change in clinic attendance, then the change in STI services received by men, and then we're going to shift to women and look at the impact it's had on women. So I want to give you a quick comparison of the male visit characteristics between the two sets of clinics. For the five control clinics, which should be on your left, about a reasonably comparable proportion were new clients and Hispanic, although in the intervention clinics, the patients tended to be a bit older. This is one of the take-home points I'm going to want to reinforce. So now we're looking at, in the columns on the right, in the control intervention, how many visits were made by males in the pre-intervention period and the post-intervention period, then the percent change. So in the control clinics, the five comparison clinics, there was about 4,000 visits in each time period, really no change. In the intervention clinics, where they implemented that series of five interventions, you saw a doubling in male client census from 2,700 to 5,400. So it's and that was a statistically significant difference. Okay. Also for men, did these interventions change the receipt of STI and HIV testing as compared with the comparison clinics? So this slide, because of the large amount of data, I had to orient it the other way. But you can see in the control group, both for gonorrhea and chlamydia testing and for HIV testing, there are modest increases in these testing measures among males. None of these are statistically significant. Move over to the two intervention clinics we had where they had people and they did the staff training, did outreach and inreach in these clinics, you saw dramatic increases in gonorrhea and chlamydia testing overall, and particularly amongst teens, and in HIV testing overall, ranging from 30 to 90%. All of those are statistically significant. Now again, as I mentioned earlier, we want to take another look at females, because it is, a legitimate question on whether these interventions for men affected what is received by and by women as far as business and services. So now here we're going to look back at the female clinic visit volume between the five comparison clinics and the two intervention clinics. So in the pre-intervention period, 2007 and 2008, you can see the number of visits made by females decreases from around 47,000 to 34,000. It's a 28% decline. That's huge. But it has nothing to do with the intervention, because you saw almost the same exact level of decrease in female client census there. So there were statistically significant differences in both, but it's not due to the intervention, because you saw this in the intervention arm as well. I think this is a critical finding from this study, so I'm going to keep hammering that home. So we had some limitations and strengths of this approach. The first one, again, we started with a demonstration project. This is not a randomized or controlled trial, but by identifying a set of comparison clinics and including the receipt of female clinic attendance and services, we were able to increase the rigor and show a methodological way to assess the impact of a demonstration project. And while we had the good fortune of having administrative data to rely on, the systems are a bit limited. We didn't have data, for example, on what services men may have received other than STI testing. And third, we had these dramatic increases in STI testing and in male clinic attendance, but it's hard to know which of those intervention pieces were responsible. So all you can conclude is the package. So in conclusion, this demonstration project done on those sites showed that integrating interventions that promote the attendance and utilization of services by men in family planning clinic settings is both feasible and it can improve clinic productivity. This is the take-home point of the whole talk. We doubled male client volume, significantly increased receipt of STI testing without apparently affecting the volume of female clinic visits. And I didn't mention, but STI service actually increased in both control and intervention clinics for females. Third, administrative systems can be used to successfully monitor program innovations, and we may not take enough advantage of these if they're available. Again, in this case, it was a lot of work to get this data, but we were able to do it. And fourth, family planning clinics are important venues for improving men's reproductive health, which leads me to my last point, because I really want to put a plug for a session that will occur Wednesday morning, session 5071. Is the changing landscape in family planning. So this is another project between CDC and the Office of Population Affairs, and what we've worked together for the last 5 years, 3 years, a long time. It's been a long time. But we've worked to develop new evidence-based guidelines for providing quality family planning services, not only to women, but also for men. And as far as we know, this is the first time there have been federal standards for providing services to men. So they're going to talk about this during the session. Again, if you're still at the conference at this point, it's a session you don't want to miss. I'd like to acknowledge the folks at the Logan Heights and Beach Clinic Family Health Center at San Diego State University and at the Women and Men's Health Services of Coastal Bend that provided a lot of input and detail on the interventions, and also to both OPA and to CARDIA. This has been a neat project for me to be involved in from the tail end. And lastly, here's my contact information and email if you want any more information about this session. As I knew Fred 20 years ago. As Sal said, we...
Hard to tell us apart, I know.
Sorry, it's hard to tell David and me apart, too. Yeah. So, as Sal mentioned, we had a historic meeting in 2010 of looking at how we can advance men's reproductive health in the U.S. This was the first time CDC had ever sponsored a meeting of this type. And what was neat about it was that we had not just family planning, not just STI and STD and HIV folks, not just infertility, not just urology, not just mental health, not just cancer. We had all of them. And you had folks who came at their own expenses, and we had almost no money to do this. We had over 100 people show up, and this has been another test to get this document out. It's a summary of these proceedings, and it should be available on our CDC website very shortly. We also want to make it available on the Men's Health Network website. And if you'd like to get a notification of when this is available, or we can just send you the PDF. If you'll send me an email, I'll be sure to send that back to you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We have time for maybe two questions for David and Lee. Thank you so much for your presentation.
Yes.
You talked about inreach and outreach, but I was wondering about operational changes in your intervention, because when we wanted to make more adolescents friendly, we did a whole research on whether adolescent-only sessions were better than integrated sessions. We wound up just increasing our hours instead, but I wanted to know, in terms of your intervention, whether you considered men-only sessions and whether that was part of the intervention.
That's a great question, and the best way for me to answer that is to turn over to my esteemed colleague, David Johnson. I don't know.
So just to clarify, male-only sessions were only... We did. So
we did.
Actually, our in general, the best way was actually opening up. So to take on from the previous presentation, we were thinking about gender integration, gender transformative approaches, which I think what we're really addressing when we look at male family planning services integrated into a family planning center or... arenas where women's services are typically presented. We found actually, and this was also based on the Texas project, which is actually modeled after, was that integrated services that incorporated and normalized, and I say normalization in a positive way, into an integrated service was the best. So the male-only services actually did not work well in our pilot project. And part of it was the men that were attending these clinics didn't have a certain